I've invited everybody on the team to share today, and some are sharing through some things that they've written, and some through personal stories. And I'd like to invite Julie Castle to come up and share some of her thoughts and experiences. I'm grateful for everyone that participated, but Julie and Donna were our team leaders, and they just put gazillions of hours into planning and preparation and such, and I'm super, super grateful for their work, and I would just like at this moment to give them extra special appreciation.
As many of you know, I cry a lot during service, and it's not because I'm sad. It's just because I am filled to overflowing with His Holy Spirit. So I am packed down and overflowing, so I might overflow a lot. I broke down and a couple times during our devotions in the morning, and you know there were times I just wanted to weep. But I'm going to try to stick to my script that I wrote late last night on the plane. There's much I want to say, and I'm really glad we're having potluck today. So if you want to hear more stories and more things or more details, we'll be hanging out afterwards. But there were a lot of themes that ran through the whole preparation for this and through the time we were there together. And certain themes kept just coming back and coming back and coming back. So I titled this Stepping Out of the Boat, A Journey in Faith with a Personal God.
You can do this. God's got this, Julie.
Well, anytime we felt like we couldn't do this, we couldn't do another step, we didn't know how to do it, we didn't know what we were doing. Donna and I kept just encouraging each other. You know, we might not have this, but God's got this. God's planned this many years in advance. He knew where we were going to be. He ordered our steps. He got us to where we were going. We met the people that we needed to meet. And we didn't have it, but God did. God's got this, but I'm going to try. Okay. So, keep this a little briefer because I got lots and lots of things I could talk about. But just these are reflections of ways that God showed me over and over and over and over again that He is the creator of the world, but He knows me. He knows what I'm wearing, what I'm thinking. He knows the number of hairs on my head. And He just kept that prevalent in my mind over and over and over. So on the way there, I wore my favorite shirt, which is my red 1 Corinthians shirt, the love chapter. And so it was... the end of that verse is these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And Brandon didn't know, I think it was Brandon, gave that verse. He didn't know I wore that shirt the night before because he didn't see me in it, but that was the first verse in the morning that he shared. Just keep reminding me that God is greater than all these things. Love, that's all we needed. Because we were like, I don't speak Spanish. I know a few words now and I don't pronounce them right. But God got this. God had this. But the first night, in devotions, it was totally unplanned. Things went awry. And I had just shared with Donna and Dave all the fleeces I had laid out to make sure that, you know, this was the trip I was supposed to go on, that I was supposed to go, that I didn't have to just, you know, sit back and maybe just send my kids like I wanted to. But I had just shared with Dave and Donna, and Judy about how I'd laid out all these fleeces. And then Matt stood up and started talking about Gideon and how he laid out fleeces and how he only took a certain number of people. And I'm like, it was personal. You know, that was my verse. That's what I just had shared. And he was up there standing in front of all these people and sharing the same thing. And I'm like, okay. I really expected him to say, and Julie. You know, I'm like, okay. And then the next, just many, many things. But one of the last day, our bus driver was a little impatient and he didn't wait for our translator, not understanding that we didn't speak any Spanish and that we couldn't really do our VBS without a translator. He left and we didn't have a translator. We get to the church and there's no translator and we're like, oh Lord, what are we going to do? What do we do? And we had the oldest kids. This was the teens that we had been anticipating. We didn't know how we're going to get them to be uncool and play games and do crafts and a VBS anyway, and what songs were we going to sing, and we were throwing everything out we had prepared and trying to come up with something new, and now we don't have a translator to explain the new stuff that we were coming up with. And a little boy named Ricky, 17, was there, and Terry goes, it's going to be okay because he speaks English. And we're like, okay. The translator we had before not only spoke English, but he was a great teacher. So you could give him a little bit, and he'd take it a long way. And I'm thinking, oh, this little guy's not going to do that. So he helped us. He did. We did a lot. I'm not sure how it was translated because, again, I don't speak Spanish. So, but he wants to come to America. And he wants to be a pilot. And he's the only one that we had encountered that week that actually spoke enough English for us to understand his wants, needs, or desires. But it was interesting that our personal God had him there at the time I was there. And had, you know, I have experience with GCA. And I know a pilot and somebody who wants to teach pilots. And I had a connection that probably no one else on any other team would had that same connection. So it was a perfect time. And we prayed with him. And we were at a Compassion International site. But at the site, they don't sponsor children over the age of 10. And he looked up, you know, and I said, you know, he was desperate because he knew he probably would never see me again. He was asking me if I had any kids, like, he almost, you know, I could see that he wanted me to say, would you adopt me, you know, would you take me home with you in your suitcase? And I'm like, I'm not sure how I can do that, you know. So I said, you know, we're not going to abandon you. Terry's here. She's here in this country. She'll track you down. We've got his name. He wanted to be Facebook friends. And we were warned, don't do that because they'll show up at your doorstep and you will have to then adopt them. So we're working with the people on the ground there to figure out a way to help this boy. Because I said to Brandon, is there any hope for this boy? Is he going to ever be able, he graduates next year, graduates in 2016. Is he ever going to be able to get enough money for a passport or the money for the airplane or even know how to apply to a college? The college might give him a scholarship, but does he even know how to apply for one or ask for one? Is there a way that we can help him out? So there are things that we're working still with him to do that. But it just struck me that God's not just my personal God. He doesn't just affect me personally. He doesn't just know my wants and desires and how to minister to me, but he knew Ricky. He knew Ricky's prayers. He knew how to connect Ricky to somebody that might be able to help him in a very personal way. Somebody that would have that same passion and love and desire to work with him. So it wasn't just a personal God for me, but it was a personal God for Ricky. And I'm excited to see how that's all going to play out in the next year. I mean, it's God's perfect timing, you know, his senior year. So I'm excited to see that. So when you pray for Ricky, that somehow we are able to impact his life and help him to become the pilot he desires to be. over and over, since we were trying to figure out what Bible story we were going to read, and they had already gave us some guidelines. They said, we do not want the wordless Bible, because everybody does that. And this is a compassion site, so they have a regular Sunday school lesson for these kids every day. So we want something to help them grow in their faith. And so when they said grow, my mind automatically went to seeds. And then I couldn't get it out of my mind. You know, so I tried to, oh, what about all these other parables? Like the other team there did the parable of the lost boy, the prodigal son. Thank you. The prodigal son. And that was one of the ones I thought of, and I'd thought of a couple other parables, but I couldn't get the parable of the sower out of my head. Every time I tried, it'd come back up in some other way. So this theme of the parable of the sower kept coming over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, literally since last January. And I brought it up a couple times to the team, and it kept growing. So we did the parable of the sower, and it went pretty well. Kids were familiar with seeds and growing, and we were on a plantation. You know, the church camp we're helping to build is on a plantation, so that was interesting. And they got the idea of the soil and the different hearts of the different seeds and things. What was interesting is the last day we were on the construction site, there was a plant in the rocks. And God said, look, there's a plant in rocky soil. It's not going to have deep roots. And you turn and there's the plants in the weeds that were being choked out by the weeds. And then you turned and there were the plants that were growing in the fertile soil. And then we made lots of paths. I think Judy spent a whole week trying to widen a path. And there was nothing growing on the path. And he said, see, this is the parable. It's not only for the children that we presented it, it was for me. That I needed to continue to till up the soil. And even though it hurts sometimes to put yourself in a till and to be plowed. I really felt plowed this week. Even though it hurts to be plowed, you need to be plowed. That dirt needs to be loose so the roots can grow deep. So I did take a couple pictures of that, so I'll have to show you that later. And then Friday evening, so a lot of this happened on Friday. On Friday evening, there's this wonderful intern that we just seemed to absorb into our family. All of the interns we absorbed into our family, they were just so wonderful. But one whose name was Jacob, Sherritt was at our VBS on Friday and shared his personal testimony to the teens about how he was from a broken home and how he wanted to be in the Army. And he'd gotten into a car accident and couldn't be in the Army. But he shared with us that night that God made a way for him to be in an army. He was in the army of God. And I sat there and I went, okay. Because way back in January, that was the first, it was the very first picture I put on the outside of my three-ring binder was being fully prepared, putting on the armor of God. And when Donna and I were deciding what we could fit in our luggage, we were taking out things we didn't need. And I said to myself, oh, you know, this was just a cute thing that keep in my head that I needed to be fully prepared for this trip. I'll leave this Army of God stuff at home. And it was the scripture verse in picture form and all this stuff. And I heard God say, no, that's too important to leave at home. I've prepared something for you. Take it with you. And I so desperately tried to put it with all of the devotions that I had prepared for that week, but it didn't fit. It wasn't part of what I thought was planned for the devotions. So I had it just like in the beginning, and I'm like, okay, I don't know why this is here. It doesn't fit. And after Jacob got done sharing his story, I started weeping because God said, it's for Jacob. You're to encourage Jacob with this. And I'm like, okay, he's going to really think I'm crazy. So after the verse, or after the thing, I went up to Jacob and I said, Jacob, I'm supposed to give you this to let you know that I was here to encourage you too. And he's just looking at me like, wow, that's really, really weird that I would be prepared 9 months prior in Michigan and have brought this particular piece of paper because he didn't even know he was going to share that personal story on Friday. But God knew. God was a personal God to Jacob. You know, and I can't tell you how many times that happened over and over and over again. During daily devotions, our morning devotions, some of you wrote letters of encouragement, and it was exactly what we needed to hear on that morning. And the songs that were part of that, Everything is Awesome, and The Potter's Hand was perfect for that moment, for that time. And every morning it was like, oh, this is just what we needed. This is exactly what we needed to hear. And it wasn't because I was an awesome planner or anything, because I was not an awesome planner. It was God, and it was God showing us that He is a personal God. He gives us exactly what we need when we need it, all the time. So many times, God made it clear to me that I was meant to go on this trip. And we're talking about a year ago. Before you guys even know you were going on a trip, God had spoken to me. It was April 26th, choir of the fire, last year. And God said, this is the year you're going on a missions trip. And I'm like, oh, no, no, I got so many things to do. I really don't want to do this. I like dragging my feet because he told me that 3 years ago, and I was dragging my feet. I thought, oh, he's not going to make me go. But I said, you know what? What if I just help my children go? I think you don't really want me to go. I think you just want my kids to go. And this is how we're going to do it. And God laughed. And he says, yeah, I don't need your money. I just want your obedience. And I tried to run like Jonah. I tried to rationalize like Gideon. I tried to argue and whine like Moses. So he gave me Donna. Thank you, Donna, for being my Aaron. He gave me your children to hold up my arms when they were too tired, like Aaron and Hur did for Moses during the battle. I finally obeyed. I stepped out of my comfortable boat and into a raging sea of unknown. As the winds of doubt and uncertainty raged around me, I kept my eyes fixed on God, daily doing what I was called to do. When I felt like I was drowning, which was a lot of times, Jesus grabbed me, lifted me to the surface again. And through this all, my faith has become stronger. I know His love can overcome the language barriers, and that these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
It was about 10 days ago, I don't know, 14 days ago, and you know, Judy's in the hospital for days and days, and she's like, yeah, I'm still going on the trip. I'm like, you're... What trip? You're not talking about Dominican Republic, are you? She's like, yeah, I'm going. She went. And she's living to tell about it. So, Judy, would you just maybe in a minute or two... The thing I really appreciated about what you wrote was just the comments you made about our team, in particular our youth. So will you just take a minute and brag about what you experienced with our youth?
Certainly will. Well, I made it. I'm back. Praise the Lord. I knew I was going. But I just want to say I was so impressed with our youth. I have never seen anything like it. I mean, they were here when we were getting packed up and ready to go, and there was a lot of kidding around, but there wasn't that real closeness that developed over this past week, both between adult and young person and between the young people themselves. What I saw was a work ethic that was just unbelievable as well. I mean, these kids were digging down in deep holes. I don't know if you've seen any pictures yet or not. They were digging down in deep holes way over their heads for about three and a half hours. No complaining, no quitting. We had to tell them to get out of the hole and take a break, drink some water. We didn't have to go to the bathroom because, one, you didn't want to go in there, and two, the other thing was you sweated, everything sweated off of you, so you didn't have to go to the bathroom. But I mean, just unbelievable. They were always there to help me. Their compassion. I don't know if you heard, I tipped my scooter over at one point on its side with me on it. My arm was trapped underneath this thing here. And not at the construction site, at the ministry where he stayed. And Dave yelled for them to come. And, I mean, they were there in a millisecond. And they all made sure they helped me up. They made sure I was okay first, and then they helped me up. And I did fall once at the construction site coming out of the outhouse. After that, I didn't go in anymore. I just wet my pants. Forget it. But I'm sitting on the ground. This is what their work ethic is like. I'm sitting on the ground. There's a whole team in front of me and two different down in the ditches. And that was the first day, I think. And so they weren't very far down in the ditches, so they could see me. And I'm sitting on the ground going, hello, I'm here, hello. I fall and I can't get up, and nobody's there. But they were just amazing. And the way, not only that, but the spiritual growth that I saw between these young people. And I keep calling them critters or kids, but they're not critters or kids. They're very grown up and very mature. And the difference between them, I mean, the other team from that other state that we don't like to talk about that was there, I mean, they did a really good job as well. But I think our youth just outshone them the entire time that we were there. So both, not only in football, but now also in ditch digging, we have it over that other state. And I just want to thank everybody from this church for praying for me. I knew from the beginning that I was going to go, because every time I prayed about it, God said, you're going. And even my doctors, I don't think, thought I was going until they walked in the room, both of them, the day before we left and said, we're releasing you to go. So it was just awesome that I was able to, and that God gave me the strength while I was there. But the help, the wind beneath my wings while we were there was this youth group, and somewhat the adults, but mostly mostly the youth. So. Hey. Yeah, my roommates were mean to me the entire time we were gone. The entire time. All of them. And then the rest of the crew, too, other than the young people. Pastor Kurt, lifting Dave, lifting the scooter in and out of the bus every time we had to go, because the step was up to here on me, so it was difficult to get in, and then they had to lift the scooter in. Not only did they have to get me in, but then they had to get the scooter in, too. And it wasn't just them. The young people stepped up there, too, and they were able to get things done there. But just watching the growth over this past week, it was just amazing. And I just praise God for the entire experience.
Yeah, thanks.
And you guys, too, for helping me to go.
As Dave comes up to share a couple things, I just to kind of set in your minds, like, what did we do? I was asked so many times before we left, what are you guys going to do in the Dominican Republic? And to be quite honest, my answer was often, I'm not exactly sure, but I think some sort of construction and some sort of vacation Bible school. But we really didn't know. Because from the time that we planned the trip about 9 months ago until when we actually took it, there were so many changes on the ground, changes in leadership, changes in opportunities and projects. But a typical day, just to kind of describe that as Dave comes up, is we'd get up and we have devotions, we'd eat together, and then we'd go out to the construction site. And what the construction site was just a big open field. And the story behind it, it's just chilling. You can actually listen to watch a video on the Envision website about it. But generations ago, there was a vision that there would be a church camp for all the Dominican churches to send their students to. We have Beulah Beach in Ohio, and a lot of you have experienced church camp of one sort or another when you were a youth. And the director said, I just have a vision that we have a youth camp so that we can send our students to, and they can experience God. And countless people have made decisions for Christ and decisions to go into the ministry and such at summer camp. So our responsibility was literally to dig ditches so that we could build retaining walls so that water could flow and irrigation as well as just distribution of water and such. And our team would take a bus ride for about an hour, and we would just grab shovels and dig and dig and dig for hours at a time every single day. And I don't remember once hearing a single word of complaint from any of our youth, really any of our team, about how hot it was, upper 90s, the humidity, about 162%, the sun, which was rarely hidden. And over and over and over again, we just saw God's goodness and faithfulness. I want to read just a snippet from Sarah Mattson. She says, when I was 8 years old, some missionaries came to Sile from Mali, Africa. Their names were Craig and Marilyn Hanscom. We had a weekend conference similar to the ones we have now, and one of the nights they came to my family's home. I think they came to speak to the teenagers at Sio and share what had happened in Africa. I thought it was going to be very boring, and I wasn't very interested in listening to them speak, but toward the end of the meeting, I felt something telling me to go and listen to Craig. The stories he was telling were not what I had thought would be things that happened to missionaries. I thought that missionaries just worked all the time, and he was speaking of fun activities they had done and encounters they had with people there. At the end of the meeting, Craig asked who was going to come to Africa with them on their flight. I leaned over to my mom and whispered, "Can I go?" She was very surprised. She had not expected that one of her children would feel God's call, let alone an 8-year-old. Since that night, I felt God calling me to be a missionary. As of now, I don't know where or when or what I would do, but for now, I will sit back and let him reveal it in his own time. On this trip, I have felt God's call stronger than ever. At VBS, I could feel the desperation of some of the kids to find someone who loved them. At the construction site, I could tell that this was a place that God would use to bring many to him. And the vision for this camp is literally that thousands and thousands of Dominicans would encounter Jesus and make decisions, life-changing decisions. And we got a chance to just start the process by digging ditches. And on the surface, it just seems so routine and so boring. In fact, I kept asking, how much does a backhoe cost to rent? Because it could just be done so much quicker. And yet, to realize that there's a vision behind all this and that we were literally laying the foundation for what thousands and thousands of people will, of where thousands will experience the power of God. And I've asked Dave just to share a little bit about relationships and friends and, well, particularly that other state that Judy mentioned a moment ago.
Dios la bendiga. Dios la bendiga. That's God bless you. We had a wonderful time. I want to thank you first for all the prayers and support and the letters that you wrote. It made many of us pull tears out of our eyes unwillingly. But we had a team from Columbus, Ohio, and first we picked on each other about, you know, Wolverine. We knew our fight song. They didn't. They didn't know their fight song. So, yeah. Kirk taught it to them the day after, so...
Oh, this I taught the Ohio Paco. State fight song to the people from Columbus.
By the way, this is Paco. He told us his name was Paco, so from now on he's Pastor Paco. But we were in a ditch. We had the Columbus team digging a ditch, and they had teams on each side of this piece of earth that wasn't removed yet, and they would work toward each other. And I was down on the other end of the ditch with... Megan, Rachel, and Isaiah, and that was the team. I couldn't ask for a better team to work with. Those people were workers. I could you not? They would not stop shoveling. I'd say, take a break. But anyways, we would have to bring the wheelbarrow down into the ditch because it was too far to throw the dirt up out of the hole. And the Ohio team was down on the other end, and... They worked with us so great. You know, they got so tired of me going, ayuda, por favor, ayuda. That means help, help, help. Because we had to have help to pull the wheelbarrow on up the hill. Once we finally got to a point where we got a plank in. At first it was just go up the dirt. Then we got to a point where there was a plank. We'd get up the plank. But then there was a couple hills like this. So you still had to have help to pull. And they worked with us so great. And what a wonderful group of people they were. It felt like we were, you know, friends since we've known each other. What else am I supposed to talk about? The interns. The interns were, what humble. They were very humble. Every morning they were up way before us, doing their jobs. Never a squeak out of them either about complaints. Always willing to do what was asked. It was just wonderful. I didn't even know there'd be interns there. There were five of them. I said, I wish we had pictures because I have a lot of pictures on my phone. Oh, good. Good. Great. I got a picture of Jacob, who talked about him? Julie did. And I got him, he's got a machete. I saw him cutting the ground, the weeds and stuff, so I got a picture of him, he's going like this, holding his machete. So that's a really, really cool picture. We had one named Laura, who spoke pretty good Spanish. At least I think it was Spanish. She spoke so fast. And she would talk to me, no comprende. But she had a heart of gold. They all had hearts for God. God was definitely at that Envision site. There's no doubt about it. We felt it many nights, times in our church service at night. We felt him during the day. But I couldn't ask for a better crew. Everybody was so good. And work. I was amazed that these kids, 16, 17, 18, were good, worked that hard. They were all working some men that I know. I'm serious. Just so proud of them. So now we have some friends in Ohio. I do have their address and number. If I ever get down to Columbus, actually it's Reynoldsburg, just outside of Columbus. I am definitely going to stop in and attend church, make sure I'm there on Sunday. But anyways, the work was hard. If you knew how to run a pick and a shovel, you had all the work you wanted. Because it was nonstop. Thank you very much. Oh, I don't even know. Con Dios. No. Is that right? Is that right? Yeah. No.
What are you trying to say?
Oh. Con Dios. Con Dios. Go with God.
Actually, Dave, you talked about teenagers, but we also, one of our most valuable team members is 12 years old. And Angela was amazing. The whole team, but Angela was our youngest, and she was a workhorse just right alongside all the bigger kids. In fact, I think we thought she was 18 by the end of the week. She put in all that effort. So great job, Angela. I want Donna just to kind of share. She had our digging and our construction team in the morning, and then our afternoon team, we went to the Compassion site, as you heard, and did VBS. And then there were some other little activities that were tweaked and modified, and some were planned and some were not planned. And Donna had a chance to just do some really unique things with my wife, and I wanted to give her an opportunity to talk a little bit about that.
Okay, thanks. Couple things I wanted to mention about. Julie was talking about Ricky, and at the very end, we're on the bus. It's the last day, and Ricky climbs on the bus. And he looks at all of us, and in his very best English, he says, I want to thank you for coming to be with us all week. I very much appreciate it. I mean, he wanted to make a final. He didn't want to let us go. And it was precious. Anyway. And one thing that Judy and Dave didn't mention that I'd like to mention is just the impression they've left on me in that I don't care where we were. We had to leave them at one time on a walk. We had a free night. Of course, we went to Baskin-Robbins every night. And, yeah, we suffered for Jesus at Baskin-Robbins. And one time we decided to go for a walk, and, of course, it's not wheelchair-accessible country. And so at one point we had to say goodbye to Judy and Dave, and they stayed at Baskin-Robbins and wait for us to do our little thing and came back. And, of course, in the meantime, they've prayed with somebody. I mean, everywhere we went, Dave says, yeah, I prayed with some guy over here. Judy's like, yeah, I prayed with somebody over here. I'm like, I mean, they were such, just I don't know, impressed upon me their willingness and ability to catch anybody who walked by. And can I pray for you? And they wouldn't know what they were saying, but these people wanted prayer, and they'd hold their hand and pray for them, and that was pretty amazing. So on to what I'm supposed to talk about. And I didn't write mine down because, you know, I kind of like to do things on the cuff, but I don't really know how to say what I want to say. But I felt all along, although I love children, I love VBS, I felt God wanted me to work with adults. And when we were all doing VBS, I many times wondered, well, where's my place? You know, I'm supposed to go. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I thought, well, if it's VBS, I'll be right there. But all along, I just didn't feel like that's where it was. And so we offered several things to the people down, the missionaries there, about I could teach ESL. And when Brandon was here, he was like, oh, wonderful, could you please teach English? These people want to know English. And I'm like, great, I got that. And then I offered to give like pampering sessions, because Julie had said we really want to minister to the team who's on the ground there all the time, the Nutters and Terry and Matt. I don't know their last name. Perlo. These people are there all the time. We come and go in a week. They're there all the time. And they work and work and work and work and work. And Julie really put a spark in me from to minister to them. So I wanted to, we decided we wanted to just really bless the women there and give them like a hand and face spa. And I kind of went, I could do that. You know, that's not real spiritual. But oh my gosh, it took off like wildfire. Because then Brandon told one of the VBS sites, ask the women there, we've got a lady here who can do like facial, you know. And they were like, could she come tomorrow? Can she come? You know. And so I went. I was never with our team. I was like always on the side, except for the construction side, of course. But and I reeled Heather in as another educator and as another person experienced in doing pampering. And what a valuable resource she was to me. And then we had Laura. You guys have heard Laura was my interpreter. So the first day, our team went on a prayer walk. We were at the superintendent's church. That was the district superintendent's church, right? And, pardon?
It was his old church.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I know he was there a lot. Every time I was there, he was there. And his wife. And so I, the first day, gave facials. I can't remember. Was it the first day?
No, the first, yeah, that was the first day. And then the third, and the second and third day, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was with, I can't remember, where was I? Anyway, I spent 2 days at that church and 3 days at the other church. It was like a Monday, Thursday, Friday with our compassion site and a Tuesday, Wednesday with the other group. And so I was blessed with getting to know adults. And I had English as ESL. We were teaching them greetings and colors and numbers and different things like that. And what was so funny is then I would see one of them at the construction site. And they would say, "Hello, Donna. How are you today?" And I would say, "Oh, I'm very well, thank you. And how about you?" Because this is what we taught them. And they were big teeth smiling. They were so proud that they remembered how to say that. And it was just so fun. And then the same way with the women at our compassion site. And the last day we were there, I mean, we were all like, they would give me a hug and then we just wouldn't let go. You know, one after the next, after the next, after the next, after the next, and 14 of them. And one woman who was there was very quiet, beautiful, very, very quiet. And so I couldn't read her. I couldn't tell if she was really enjoying this or just kind of there because of her friends there or whatever. So I gave these lipstick samples out. And I didn't have enough for everybody, so I was kind of letting them, they each got a little bit and put it on, because these women love to wear, you know, nail stuff and lip stuff. I mean, it's very important in their culture, and they can't afford it. So we were doing that, and I had an orange left over, and she had chosen this, like, orange-colored lipstick, so I gave her, like, you know, the rest of it kind of thing. It was open, and, like, I just gave it to her, and blah, blah, blah. And afterwards, when we were giving hugs, this is a woman who never said boo the whole time. She would kind of say her English. She'd say red, blue. And I would try to, and I would talk to her, and she would answer me, and then I'd smile. I'm like, yes, and she would give me this real shy smile, you know. And at the very end, we're giving goodbyes. She comes up to me, and she's tall. She comes, which is not usual for women there, and she gives me this great big hug, and she says, "Donna, I love you." I just didn't expect it; just totally unexpected. And anyway, after that, we had a whole lot of that going on, a whole lot of this going on, and it was just—I felt like I was blessed almost more than they. I was blessed more than they were. It was just amazing. And one woman in particular, Marina. I need to talk about Marina. Marina works at the compound where we were living. It's owned by the Methodist Church. Her husband is the bishop, and this woman runs the place. It's huge. She runs the place. She runs all the cleaning people, all the cooking people, all the laundry people. She does all the bills. She runs the place. And the staff was telling me, we've got to bless her with a pampering session. I said, okay, great. I said, would you do the whole kitchen staff? No. You don't understand. We really need to bless this woman. This woman works and works and works, and she never gets paid. She does it all volunteer. She must put in like 60 hours a week or more doing all this work, and she's done it for 30 years. And we really need to bless this woman. So I'm like, oh, great. So Heather and I got to stay back from the construction site and suffer for Jesus again in the air conditioning while we pampered Marina. And it was so personal, just two of us, and we had one of the interns translating with us. And it was just, we got to just let her relax and enjoy, because she has the weight of the whole responsibility of this whole place on her shoulders all the time. And she just loved it. And at one point she says to me, she says, many thank yous. And she goes, no one has ever just like focused on me, like just blessed me ever in like 30 years. And at that point I went, that's why I came. That is why I came right there. And She had, 15 years ago, she had bought a skincare set. And she has metered it out for 15 years. And she is literally down to the very end of the last bottle. So, and she has some other skin things that she was concerned about. And Heather and I look at each other and we wink and we're like, yeah, we're sending her some. You bet we're sending her some. And then I was relating this to the Ohio team. And his first thought was, how much does it cost? Can we help contribute? And I said, yeah. I said, but you know what? Our church, I said, because I'm going to present this to our church, and I just know that God has given us more than we've asked or thought about everything else. I said, so we're going to probably have a whole box to send to her because God's just done that the whole time with the whole raising funds and the whole whatever. So if you would like to contribute to honor Marina and surprise her, she doesn't know we're sending it to her. It's going to be a complete surprise. I'd be willing to work with that too.
Yeah. We had a discussion, Donna, Julie, myself, and Heather, or many discussions, whatever. But, you know, some of you may be thinking, just like Donna said, how spiritual can giving a woman a facial be? But, you know, I saw these people, one of them that I worked with at VBS site. And she just kind of latched on to me, and she would, just like Donna was saying, they hug you, and they don't want to let go. And she was sitting in the class on the last day, and when we had been talking in the room about it not, you know, people thinking it's not really a spiritual thing, and, or some of us would rather than the air conditioning, all the intentions, but anyway. Last day at the table, and Donna was working with them and putting Ada on. They were doing something better. I don't do that stuff. I don't know what it was. But she looked at me and she's going like this, and she's putting her makeup on here. And I looked at her and I said, Benita. And her face just lit up from one end to the other, which means beautiful. And then, you know, just to care for them, they're there at that site. Just like Marina said, the other side, they're there with the children every day and working with them all the time. And let me tell you, there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of kids. A lot of kids.
But there are still
like 500.
And yes. They work with them day in and day out, and no one notices. So it was a ministry. It was just as much of a ministry as digging a ditch or having a worship service or whatever. And it just want you all to know that because we had a discussion about how people would think about it as to what type of ministry it would be. And I also want to say something that they must have really had a good time because he has a shirt on inside out.
Well, on that note, one of the things that was very, very important for us as a team when we were preparing, and we spent a lot of time preparing, we spent months preparing and having meetings and sharing ideas and Bible studies and videos. And some of you maybe think about mission trips, like in the classical sense, where rich white people go to other countries and we save them and we tell them what they need and we give them stuff and we're the heroes to save the day. And our attitude from day one is not to give handouts or hand-ups or hand anything except to go hand into hand and serve and support our brothers and sisters in Christ and work together as peers because that's what we are. And they're not any smarter or less smart or wiser or less wise. They're just our brothers and sisters in Christ. And over again we saw that and we saw that we are one in Christ and the unity. I mean, first of all, we were united with a team from Columbus, and if that's not a sign of God's grace, I don't know what is. But with the Dominicans as well, just to love them and to serve them and then to be loved by them and to serve them. one of the neatest things, Rachel Mattson wrote, she said, although there are many so many things I could say, there was one more big lesson I learned. My favorite part of the trip was Spanish church on Tuesday night. It probably helped that I could understand most of what was being said due to my 5 years of Spanish classes. Dominicans sing with gusto, and some even dance. They worship wholeheartedly and strongly believe God's presence is with them. They also pray boldly and believe in a God who can do big things. They prayed for the world, for pastors in danger, for their community, and the leaders of the DR and the U.S. They don't stop at one small request. They have extreme confidence in our awesome God. It was so cool to see their commitment to God and building his kingdom, not just where they live, but in the whole world. It made me question how I pray and what I ask God for, because now I can see that he is able to do more than I can ask or imagine. Prayer truly is powerful, and God is still God no matter what language we worship him in. We serve a big God, and I'm so thankful my eyes were open to that this week.
A lot of what I have to say actually reflects what Rachel was saying. What I want to talk about really is the power of prayer, but I don't feel like I can do that without giving a little bit of backstory first. From the very beginning of this trip, before we started planning this, the devil had his hand in it. He had an action plan, and he put it into play. The leadership in the DR had a falling out, as best as I can understand, taking with them materials that were rightfully theirs and not transferring the relationships to the new leaders. So the people to take their place had been in the country for just over a year. When we were there, it was like 14 months they'd been there. They had very limited language skills. They weren't ready or prepared. So when they were communicating with the short-term missions teams, it was difficult, to say the least. Communication was hard. Directions weren't clear. Everything was changing constantly. Us here, we ran around like ants on a hill, trying to get back in order before it got kicked again, because things got changed all the time. We didn't know what was going on. And the people on our team, well, you know some of us, we got some pretty strong personalities here. And we were under a lot of stress, but it worked out. To say I was a bit concerned for this trip would be putting it mildly. I was worried. But you see, God already had his hand in this too. He was down there, and he was up here working. He was everywhere. Whatever it was, the fact that Judy was able to come at all, the attacks on her health, the money, the luggage, things worked out in the airport. We got there, and the predicted humidity level for the week was like in the 80s. Okay, it was going to be hot, and it was going to be humid, and which for an island on the equator really isn't that ridiculous. But for us Michiganders, were we in constant prayer for, Judy? Breeze. We wanted the cool breeze. We wanted the clouds. And what did we get? We got exactly that. We even got a sprinkle. Was it the first day? First day, we got a light drizzle. It was perfect for cooling us off. So God constantly gave us exactly what we asked for. For the VBS, even though things were constantly changing and we never knew what to expect, God had prepared us. And we didn't even know it till we tried. Like, on Friday. We didn't speak the language. No hablo español. But I do speak smiles, and I speak bubbles. And you know what? The kids in the Dominican, they do too. another thing. Okay. So no one has talked about this yet, so I will elaborate. What day was it with Lily? I need to remember. It was the first day. It was Monday. Monday, Lily, she's 3 years old. The Nutter's youngest girl, she's 3 years old. She got very sick.
Suddenly.
All of a sudden, she was very sick. We were doing devotions that evening, and she suddenly went very ill. Bethany and Terry went out to go help her, And they saw her face was white, she had no color in her lips, and she was, her eyes were rolling back to the back of her head, and they had to fix the toilet, so if she had to vomit, she could do it there. By the time the toilet was fixed, she was passed out. So the Nutters ran off to go to the hospital, right? But as soon as they left, we had just finished our song, and Matt came out, and he explained to us what had just happened, and he said if we could all just pray. So we sat there and we prayed. Abby, the intern, prayed that Lily would be miraculously healed, that she would be healed right then and there, that they wouldn't even have to go to the hospital, and they would just turn around. The healthcare there is not cheap. It's expensive, especially for people that are poor. But that God would just heal her, and they would turn around. And minutes later, Terry was on her phone all during prayer. She was trying to get a text through. She was trying to see the updates. And she got a text. She said that Lily is looking much better. She's got color. They turned around and they came back. We finished our devotions and they came in and they explained to us what had happened. It was literally the answer to prayer as we were praying it. I have never seen a miracle like that before, ever. It was amazing. So when I say that God has been nothing but answer to prayer in this trip, that is what I mean. He has constantly come through, whether it be the weather, whether it be Lily, whether it be... It's just everything. Everything was just working out. It has been through God alone that the trip was able to be what it was. Something that I saw in all the way through the trip was a gratefulness in the people for what they had and the desire to share it. Rachel talked a little bit about this in her letter, but I want to elaborate. The DR, it's dirty. There isn't clean water. There's trash everywhere. Their homes, it's hot and humid, first of all. We all have a new definition of sweating through one's clothing.
And your eyeballs.
It was hot. It was sweaty. It was a little bit miserable. It was a lot of fun, but it was a little bit miserable. But the water isn't clean. It's hot and humid. And the people there have very sad living conditions. They live, in some cases, with a sad excuse for a rickety old shed. It's not stable. It doesn't look clean. But they're grateful. Sorry, one sec. There isn't always enough to eat. And yet, instead of going out, they insisted, when we did our prayer walk, instead of keeping what was theirs, the little they had, us Americans coming in, right, keeping it to themselves, they insisted on sharing with us. We went out on a prayer walk. Again, we were hot and sweaty, right? And we were about to get on the bus and go back, and they stopped us. They said, no, let us give you some refreshments. They went out. They bought ice, good ice. They got drinks. They got cookies. Coca-Cola, like not the offbeat stuff, it was Coca-Cola. They wanted to bless us because we were praying with their community. We were listening to them. We wanted to hear. We wanted to pray with them. And they just wanted to bless us. And they had little to give. And they gave it. So that's what I mean when I say they wanted to share what they had. And when we ran out of bubbles at the VBS, we ran out. We only brought one bottle. But it was a lot of fun to play with them. They noticed that we ran out, and they used their purified water, limited supply of purified water, to remake the bubbles for us so we could use it again. And we played with bubbles again. And it doesn't stop there. This is material things that they were grateful for and they wanted to share. In the Dominican, they're very aware of the spiritual warfare going on around them, like the influence of voodoo from Haiti. They're very aware of this, and they're extremely grateful for the hope they have through Christ and the fellowship they found in his body.
They prayed boldly, as Rachel said. I've never heard more bold prayers. The requests they had were always first for their family members that weren't Christians. They wanted to bring them into the church. That God would meet their needs, keep their home stable until they could make repairs, had the finances, had the ability, had the supplies, that God would keep it standing. The providing jobs, actually, is literally what it's providing jobs, enough food, keeping them healthy, or give them health if they don't have it. These are requests that we encountered on every single stop for the prayer walk. These are the exact same requests. Every single time, everyone wanted these prayers answered. I wrote them down because they were literally every single thing I listed they wanted. But it didn't stop there. When we talked to the people from the church, whether it be from our VBS camp, whether it be from the place we were at Tuesday night, their prayers were exactly the same, and then they added on. What things they wanted, they wanted prayer for the leadership in the DR, the president and his cabinet, that God would give them wisdom. They also prayed for our president. They wanted a prayer for the churches around the world and their pastors. They were very grateful for the religious freedom they had. They were so aware of it. They were so aware. In the United States, we take it for granted. They don't. Every single time, they were grateful for the religious freedom. They were allowed to practice their religion. They were allowed to be happy, and they could shout about it. They didn't have to be quiet about it in the basement. They prayed for the other countries that didn't have the religious freedom. They wanted to send missionaries there, asking for revival around the world. They prayed boldly. They prayed so boldly. They prayed with the passion, the boldness, the gratitude, and grief. They prayed with grief. They were sad for the people who didn't have Christ, for the people they couldn't share Christ with because of other countries not having that freedom and stuff. I've never seen anything like it before. Over and over again this week, I have heard prayers that if God don't, it won't. And over and over and over again, I've seen them answered. So I want to conclude my turn by saying that I want to say thank you to all of you who prayed for us before the trip, during the trip. Those of you guys who wrote letters, thank you much, Lee. It was fantastic. All of you guys who are praying for this missions team, I want to ask you all to keep praying for us. Because, I'm sorry, that we let this trip have a permanent effect on our lives, that we use all that we learned here to keep fighting the good fight. Fight here at home, too. Thank you. I also have something from Isaiah. He was not able to be here today, so I am going to read it for him. He says, "What inspired me the most throughout the whole week was the consistent, visible power of prayer. And it wasn't just with Lily's miraculous healing. That was amazing, but it's not just it. As you would guess, the Dominican Republic is a rather worn country. And we were glad when it was in we were glad it was in the lower 90s. In addition to digging trenches every day for 2 hours would be enough to make you hot and sweaty in Michigan, let alone the DR. But every day when we prayed for a cool breeze to blow while we were working, it came. And every day when our hands drooped, our heads drooped, we prayed for refreshment, and it came. God gave us enough energy throughout the week to finish digging our trenches and still have more energy for the VBS afterwards. But it wasn't just our prayer. It wasn't just our prayers. I'm sorry. We know that you were praying for us here as well. And I want to thank you for your prayers. of health and safety. As a result, even after crossing, even after crossing streets that have made me afraid of crossing any street ever again, which isn't quite true, but they were really scary.
Now, wait a minute. We got to talk a little bit about traffic in the DR. Okay? Hang on a second.
There's no rules. I kid you not. There's no rules.
Yeah. It's treacherous to cross.
It was terrifying. Watching Judy try to cross one of those streets. Gabe, who was it, a heart attack? Who wants to raise their hand? Man, it was scary. Because they weren't scooter-friendly and nobody had any rules. Pedestrians do not have the right of way. Do not have the right of way. The biggest one. We were on the bus, though. none of us were hit. And throughout the whole trip, none of us became seriously ill or injured. We did have a few illnesses, but that was just a day long, and we got better. We recovered. It was amazing. I also would like to thank those of you who sent letters along with us for your care and encouragement that you put into your writing. We read one every morning, and knowing that you had us in your thoughts and prayers encouraged us greatly. Even when we might not have been feeling 100%. Once again, thank you to all of you for your thoughts and prayers, Isaiah Mattson.
In just a moment, we're going to pray. And if you're looking at the clock, we're halfway done. We'll get there. We're wrapping up here shortly. Phil's going to, Phil, if you come up, we're going to take our offering in a moment. The thing about the body of Christ is there's so many different ways that we can serve and we can bless one another. And we take an offering each week and we give of our money, and money is one way that we worship. It's one way that we give. And the money that we give, it pays for the lights in here. But it does other things too. Our funds go to the Dominican Republic. It goes to support mission projects all over the world. It blesses brothers and sisters. We exceeded our $20,000 goal, which was an answer to prayer, right? God is alive, and I think the reason we don't see more God activity is just simply because we don't ask. But when we ask, God is good and he's faithful time and time again. And we saw that over and over in the DR. You've heard about Lily. And just to kind of frame this, Lily is the daughter of Brendan Nutter. And Brandon was here and spoke at SIO about a year ago. Had no idea I'd ever see him again, and ended up taking a whole team to visit him. And Brandon told me, he's like, we have three kids. This is the first time we've ever taken our kid to the ER. And they never got to the ER because right before they got there, she turned and they came home. And he said it was just an absolute miracle. He said, I've never seen anything like it. It was a legit miracle, brothers and sisters, because God does legit miracles. And the fact that we can pray for them, that we can pray with them, and we need to continue to give money. We need to continue to give time. We need to give our talents, and we need to continue to pray for the Dominican Republic and for Ann Arbor, for Columbus, and for all over the world. And Envision is actually a very unique thing that the Christian Missionary Alliance has set up. There are Envision sites. There's about 20 of them in the U.S. and around the world. And the purpose of Envision sites is simply to give teams an opportunity to experience a different culture and to get a taste of what it means to serve in that different culture. And we all experienced such a beautiful, beautiful country, beautiful people, and got a taste of what it's like in a different language, different culture, and yet to experience the unity of it all. And so what I'd like to do is just to pray now for them, and as they are praying for us, our brothers and sisters in Christ. God, thank you so much for being such a great dad. My heart is just overwhelmed with joy and thanksgiving for the way that you answer prayer and the way that you love your children. Thank you for healing Lily. Thank you for keeping us safe under some very dangerous conditions. Thank you for keeping us healthy in the midst of so many threats to our health. Thank you for providing the funds that we needed to go and even some extra funds that we could use to bless the Dominican Republic, our brothers and sisters there. God, I thank you for each person that attended, each person that prayed for us. I thank you for each person that wrote letters. I'm deeply grateful for Rebecca McCarter and the work that she did on the front end to make this whole trip possible. And I'm thankful for our brothers and sisters in the Dominican Republic, particularly for Brandon and for his wife Bethany and their three kids, and for Matt and Terry and their kids, who will be there long after our return here. And God, as we talk so much about seeds, I really sense that the seeds of this past week have only begun to produce the harvest that you intend. This is not the end, but it's just the beginning. And so, God, I pray for a tremendous harvest in the Dominican Republic, as well as a tremendous harvest here at SIO and in Ann Arbor. And we just give you thanks and praise for all good blessings that come from you. And we ask that you take now these funds as we freely give them to multiply your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we sing a closing song, as I read through the different writings of our team, maybe the most powerful came from Megan Smith. And she wrote, "On Wednesday night at Devotions, Brandon talked about having seminal moments, something that changes the way you live your life and really impacts you. I remember on that night thinking that I hadn't really had any seminal moments yet, and I prayed and asked God to give me one. At the end of the week, I still felt like I had not had one seminal moment in the trip. But I realized as people gave testimonies Friday night and we debriefed that rather, the entire week and the trip was a seminal moment for me, because as a result of this trip, I would like to do an internship with one of the Envision sites in the next couple of years, which is not something I ever would have thought of doing if I had not come on this trip. I'm still unsure of what God wants from me, but I feel He is calling me to be an intern, and this trip has really allowed me a glimpse into His will for me." And I just think that's so, so cool.